What's happening, everybody? You're listening to another episode of the Supermercado Bros Video Game Music Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. It's time for another installment of Show and Tell.
Woot woot. This is Show and Tell 20, the 20th installment of this very fun episode series that we do, where we each bring in 10 or so tracks that the other person hasn't heard, and kind of a competitive, friendly competitive nature. We try to outdo the other person. We try to pick the best video game music we can find. And there's no particular theme today, so we're going to play old stuff, new stuff, just trying to find cool video game music.
What's kind of interesting, and we hinted at this a little bit last week, but it sort of shows you the difference. You know, when we first started the show, a lot of you gave comments, and even, you know, there's some people that have told me in person that have, you know, gone back and listened to the earlier episodes. Mm-hmm. I have a really hard time telling, you know, Will and Carl apart.
Oh, yeah, voice-wise.
Personality-wise, we're very different, and I think the best example of it is the way we prepare these show and tell episodes. Carl is very organized. He always has his picks ready like weeks in advance, mm-hmm. and he uses like a numerical rating system to pick it out.
I'm always more than 10 too.
I'm literally the day before like scrambling for hours just trying to find good stuff. But the cool thing is, I don't know, at least in my opinion, we always end up having really fantastic playlists
very
competitive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things about this show that I'm really proud of, but I will say if you go back and listen to these show and tells, I think we've done, you know, previously to this, 19 really solid playlists of video game music. And I think one of the reasons why people listen to our podcast is to discover new video game music they may not have heard. And I think that's one of the things that I know you really try to do is there's going to be some things on here that I know you guys have never heard before. So I think you guys are going to enjoy this playlist.
Well, especially as the show continues, that's what's sort of fun about it. We've been doing this podcast for almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I think
the challenging thing, and maybe why it gives Will a little bit of stress, is that we're not just phoning it in. It's not like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like, we're trying to find really good stuff.
Right.
And that has always been rare. Good art is rare. It doesn't matter if it's pop music, jazz, video games. Good art is not the norm.
And while it takes a long time and there's a lot of bad music that you have to sift through, it always amazes me how there's always a new fantastic soundtrack to mm-hmm. discover. And I'm not just talking about something new, but I mean
old stuff,
something
too.
From the 90s or the 80s that I've never heard. And sometimes it even, you know, has these classic composers that are very familiar to the show, but it was not on my radar. That's the thing that I really most enjoy about this podcast, is because as a kid, there was sort of my world of games that mm-hmm. I knew of, and among that, there was some of the best video game music that I'm still in love with to this day. But what's great about doing this show, I mean, I've been introduced to so much, but, you know, years in, I'm still finding new things.
It's crazy.
I'm still learning.
It's crazy. So that's one of the coolest things, is how big of a well there is to draw from video game music. So, all right, let's get into this.
Carl,
we have
what
a
did
lot
you
of
play
good
in
stuff.
With?
I was really excited to discover that. So I played in with a track from the SNES game Arcana. And it was composed by Jun Ishikawa, the Kirby composer.
You know, I was going to say it sounded like Kirby.
Yeah, and what was cool about that, this came out in about 1991 or 1992, and it was not a Kirby game. It was one of the few games that this composer ever worked on outside of the Kirby series. So this track is a cool kind of combination, because there are things about it, like the pan flute and the tempo and some of the writing, that feels Kirby, but at the same time it definitely feels like a different direction. So it was a really cool discovery. That track I played in was called Second Armageddon.
Interesting. That was great. Yeah,
Thank
I was
you.
Thinking you were just playing in with some Kirby track that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, so
I was very intimidated, because I really like what you played in with, and I was a little bit concerned if that was the play-in, that your other stuff must be even better.
Well, that was my first pick of the day. I think now let's move on to your first pick.
So I'm going to start off with a tune from a Game Boy soundtrack called V-Rally. This game was composed by Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah.
Love Alberto.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to play a track called Car Selection. This is from V-Rally. Let's take a listen. Carl, I think you're really going to like this one.
All right.
You're listening to Car Selection from V Rally. This groovy track is composed by a really wonderful composer, Alberto Gonzalez.
This is so good. I love Alberto. He always comes through in the groove department. You know, he just makes something that feels so natural and funky. His use of those slash chords I really particularly enjoyed here, and the use of the fast arpeggiation setting to make it feel more full. It's definitely not a Japanese style of composition.
Well, what's also fun about doing these episodes is not only do we try to outdo each other, but we try to, you know, historically we pick music that we really think the other person will enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wanted to start off my chunk of the playlist with this track from V-Rally, because of all the things that I'm playing today, I kind of felt this was the discovery that I really thought Carl would enjoy the most.
Oh, dude, I love it. And also, it's so cool because I have never heard this soundtrack before. I mean, Alberto's done a lot of great work.
This is a great soundtrack. So that's the other thing. A lot of what I'm playing today are completely new soundtracks that I discovered. And for the most part, I highly recommend all of them.
And it's also a good thing to come back to maybe for next time. So, yeah, I have a couple things that I today that I'm coming back to from old show and tells. So, all right, let's move on to a new game that I've never heard before preparing for this. This is Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Spirit of Justice, which I believe came out for the 3DS. This is a new game in the series, the newest game in the Ace Attorney series. And this track was composed by legendary video game composer, long-running composer, Noriyuki Iwadare. This is Apollo Justice. Let's take a listen. This is a really cool track because it kind of feels like it's bridging the gap between old school and new school video game music. This is Apollo Justice from the newest Ace Attorney game, Spirit of Justice. This is composed by Noriyuki Iwadare. I believe this came out just this year. Probably the newest game that I'm playing today. I just really like this. I thought it had a really strong melody that was comfortable and familiar. It reminds me of other video game music, but I just thought that maybe like the choice of synths and everything was a little bit more modern, some slightly newer like string sounds. But it's something that I have no qualms in calling this video game music. It
would
never happen.
It's always
great
when we have those retro composers that are still active today and still writing catchy music.
And also, when you think about this series, I know that Noriyuki Iwadare has done a lot of entries in this series. So it's like, when I think of the Ace Attorney kind of sound, this is definitely what
I think of. No, awesome, dude. That's a fantastic track.
I really like the synth solo here that he does. You can tell it's performed.
Right.
I always enjoy that.
Yeah, it's interesting when those classic composers that are still working try to infuse modern production elements in what they choose to retain from the kind of synthesizer sound of retro game music and what they choose to do new. You know, a lot of times it's more rock instruments with maybe a violin. But in the case like this, it's more like a rock groove, but with orchestral instruments and, you know, synthesizer for the melody. And that sort of, that's that little bit of nostalgia that reminds us of music from the past.
Well, I think it's time to move on to your second pick now.
So mine is from a game called Maui Mallard in Cold Shadow.
Absolute classic.
This is a game starring Donald Duck. It was for the Super Nintendo.
I've never heard of this.
It was originally made and released in Brazil, and then eventually it was ported to North America and the EU.
Is there any chance it's a Brazilian composer or not?
No. It's a composer you're very familiar with, Michael Giacchino.
Oh, my goodness.
Very acclaimed film composer, movie movies like Up, The Incredibles, Star Trek, some of the Mission Impossibles, but he actually got his start in video games. Some of you may remember his soundtracks to the early Medal of Honor titles, but he actually started on the Super Nintendo working for Disney, and this is one of those titles. I think we may have played one or two tracks of his before, but this soundtrack is composed by Michael Giacchino, Patrick Collins, and Steve Duckworth, who I believe only did some orchestrations for like the PC ports of these games. But I'm going to play a track called Test of Duckhood. And what I think is interesting about this one is it has a really great melody, and it kind of has this swanky jazz feel that if this track was composed by Michael, is sort of a nice foreshadowing to what he ultimately did in The Incredibles. Cool. I think you're really going to like it. The one last thing I want to mention about this track before we play it, sort of another little allusion to his eventual film career, is the track has a short loop musically. Like, structurally, the same melodies repeat frequently, but they're orchestrated differently every time, which is almost more the way you would have it in films, where though the melody might repeat, you know, first maybe it's done with flutes, and then maybe it's done with mandolin or something. And that's kind of how this track works, that the actual form of when the piece itself loops is more like 2 minutes into it, but musically it feels like it loops quicker. So let's take a listen to Test of Duckhood. Listening to Test of Duckhood from Maui Mallard and Cold Shadow. I think it's also known as Donald Duck in Maui Mallard.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's different titles for the different localizations. But if we actually listen to the music right here, the melody is going to come back with mandolin, kind of doing more like tremolo. It's just interesting how it keeps reorchestrating itself.
Yeah, I guess what I'll say about this is there's a lot of music that tries to go for this kind of sound on the SNES, but it's rare that it has this level of actual authenticity and accuracy to this. Like, this sounds like something you would hear in maybe like a movie or like a TV show or an actual, you know, kind of Latin jazz recording.
Right. It also reminds me of Donald Griffin and the music from Aladdin.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
That kind of the same Disney world. I mean, Donald didn't specifically work to Disney. He was sort of independently contracted by Tommy Tallarico.
And but Virgin
it's interesting that the
yeah.
music has that similar sound, which I think is really cool.
I think what that is Western composers outside of video games coming in and trying to just translate their outside ideas into a game system.
Well, the idea of cartoon music, you know, trying to find a bluesy way of sort of an entry into
this. This is a good
and
track,
it's not
dude.
Different. Yeah, isn't it great? It's not that different from what Japanese composer, I mean, you think of the music to DuckTales that's very bluesy and has those jazz sensibilities. So it really isn't so much about East and West. I think it's about these characters and these sort of classic cartoon franchises tend to be scored in a similar way. But I just thought that was a great melody and, you know, a nice little foreshadowing to...
Yeah.
almost it's really like Incredibles good. Or something.
That's fun. All right, let's move on to my next pick. This is my third pick of the day. This comes to us from the game Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll.
Oh, great.
This is an entry that came out on the Wii, actually. So this is a Wii game for the Super Monkey Ball series. And it was composed by two wonderful Sega composers, actually. Tomoyo Otani, who's like the all-star of modern Sonic games.
Right, right.
Just did some of the best melodies of, like, you know, Sonic Lost World and stuff like that. As well as Mariko Nanba. Let's take a listen to... I love this track. It's kind of... It has some traditional Japanese elements. It's a really cool piece of music. It's World 4 Far East. You guys are listening to World 4 Far East. This part is just really 80s. And
I love that melody.
That's, oh, man, this is a great piece of music.
I love that melody that's played on the Erhu, which is sort of like the Japanese violin. It's so strangely vocal.
And
I don't know
in
this
you,
context where it's sampled.
But I was not expecting that. Like, when it starts, yeah, you hear some gorgeous kind of Kodo samples, and you hear the dance beat and the bass, and I was like, okay, it'll probably just stick with this. But it got a lot more authentic and, like, beautiful.
Right, right.
But it still has that dance rhythm. And I think that is one of my favorite things about Japanese composers, is they combine things like a beautiful, simple melody that's fairly emotional and pure.
Well, what's great
with a dance beat.
Yeah, the pentatonic elements are more sort of emphasized on the piano. But underneath this groove,
you know,
and when the
similar
melody comes in, it's mostly pentatonic, but mm-hmm. it's so lyrical and evocative against the chords, you don't interpret it as specifically Japanese.
Well, talking about long forms, I have a few of these examples today. This, just like that track you play, this one has a really long form. I mean, this track is 6 minutes long, and we haven't even, this is all new material. There's like solos, there's different, it's definitely more than I was expecting for the Monkey Ball series.
Yeah, it's just so gorgeous.
And, you know, when I went through this series, I was like, I kind of want to play, for some reason, I want to play a Monkey Ball track, and I checked out all the soundtracks. Most of them are what you'd expect, nothing necessarily to write home about, but this one was a really good standout.
Yeah, I mean, it really transports you.
It does. Yeah, I just had a blast listening to this. I actually found myself listening to this like multiple times over and over again because I just enjoyed it so much. So, all right, man, I think it's back to you.
Wow. Yeah, this is sort of a tough act to follow, but I think I've got the contender for it. Well, some of you may remember a few weeks ago for sort of our season premiere, we did an episode on cliches in video games. And one of the things that I was partially responsible for was selecting music for some of the ethnic cliches. Well, one of the pieces that we wanted to do, we wanted to showcase Russian-sounding music in games, and I found the perfect example, but we were only really able to showcase just a few seconds of it, and mm-hmm. it really is, honestly, in my opinion, and I know we say this a lot, but I do feel this, one of the greatest melodies in video games. It's by a composer that we featured before on this podcast called mm-hmm. James Hannigan. You may remember him from RuneScape, but he's done tons of great orchestral music. This is from Command & Conquer, Red Alert 3, and this is the Soviet March. It's this rousing orchestral piece, but about 30 seconds into it, this Russian sounding male choir comes in singing this stereotypically Russian sounding piece, but it's a phenomenal melody, and it's
cool.
Just really fantastic. It's so much fun to listen to. So let's take a listen to the Soviet March from Command & Conquer Red Alert 3. We'll be right back. Oh, that's fantastic. Soviet March from Command & Conquer Red Alert 3, composed by just really, I think, one of the underrated classic video game composers, James Hannigan.
He just nailed this. Not only does he nail the Russian, like, stereotypical sound, but it's a beautiful melody that stands up on its own.
Yeah. I
mean, this needs to be in a movie or something.
Well,
this
it's
is
that
just
very
so
kind of nationalistic Russian-sounding piece,
Soviet.
Almost like some music by Shostakovich or something.
It's so wonderful. Yeah, this is, I don't know, musically, I think this is so much better than a lot of the previous Command & Conquer Red Alert
right.
music. I mean, I know those are very popular in a lot of...
Well, I think the Red Alert series really has some good tunes. There's a couple other composers that worked on this game that also had fantastic music. But yeah, I agree with you. Some of the earlier entries in the Command & Conquer series I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where, from what I've heard so far in the series, there's a lot of like really cool pieces of music that are like definitely really... kind of put you in the zone and really make you want to play the game.
Yeah,
but
very rocking.
To talk about musically on this show, there's some of them that I probably wouldn't have as much to say.
Well, that tends to be more or less the norm with a lot of contemporary video game music, which is why it's so wonderful to get something like this. It almost feels like Cold War era film scoring, but just wonderful. I'm actually going to be sharing another piece by James Hannigan today, and I kind of went down a wormhole looking into this guy. He's someone I would love to have on the podcast to discuss his career, because
it's a good idea.
He's really something.
I'm sure we could make that happen too. All right, I'm going to move on to my next pick. This is a game I've never even heard of before, and I stumbled upon it luckily, and it was cool because I stumbled upon it and I was like, this music's really good. I wonder who it's by, and then I found out that it's composed by Kohei Tanaka. It's a PS1 game, so it's orchestral music with PS1 samples.
Oh, sure.
And basically, almost more than any other game I've ever heard, this sounds like Super Nintendo. It just sounds like Super Nintendo, maybe like a little bit higher fidelity.
Well, we
maybe.
Like our Super Nintendo.
We do
Kohei
like our
Tanaka.
Super Nintendo, yeah. So this is Kohei Tanaka. The game is called Alundra, and I'm going to play a track called The Wind That Shook the Earth. I think, Will, you're really going to enjoy this piece of music. It has a good melody. Let's take a listen to it. So wonderful. You guys are listening to The Wind That Shook the Earth from the PS1 game Alundra, composed by one of my favorite composers, Kohei Tanaka.
I think it's a very fittingly epic title. It really works well with the piece.
I just think it's so fun to hear him on PS1 because, you know, I think most people will listen to this, the sound of this, it sounds so dinky and crappy, really. But the music is every bit as emotional and as expressive as, you know, his later actual orchestral work.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's even more lush and more sort of dramatic than some of his later scores.
Because he has to convince everyone that it's emotional on the PS1, which is kind of hard to do.
Well, it's interesting you compared it to the Super Nintendo. What it almost sounds like to me is like the kind of general MIDI sounds that the Super Nintendo was sampling,
yeah,
but on a 32-bit system. And then also on the Super Nintendo, they have that really crappy digital impulse reverb sound,
right?
That's in almost like every RPG or orchestral soundtrack. And here you have a more convincing just sort of standard reverb.
That's true.
On everything.
Yeah, now that I listen to it, it definitely does feel a little bit better fidelity. But you know what I mean? It's like kind of that
right,
90s
the timbre
general
of those
MIDI.
Instruments. Yeah, totally.
I just thought this was... I got a kick out of this because like I could literally hear his writing and it was the same style.
Yeah. Oh, particularly the first like 40 seconds.
Yeah, it was cool because like he's done so much great work. I really love a lot of his anime soundtracks.
Right, right.
And like it's the same style that he's composed before.
Yeah, that sort of old school golden era Hollywood
very
harmony
melodic.
In the bridge section that's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I just thought that was a fun little obscure
almost
pick
there. Borrows from like musical theater a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hopefully you guys remember last time we did a show and tell episode, the track of the week was something I brought in, and it was actually not from a game. It was from a chiptune contest, and we played a track called Artificial Intelligence Bomb.
Yeah.
Well, I was so blown away by not just the implementation of that piece, but the melodic structure and how he captured classic game music. Well, it was by a guy who goes by the name of Naruto.
He is amazing.
He's amazing. A Japanese composer, chiptuner guy. And so
but he hasn't
really
done like anything other than just chiptune. Like he hasn't done a game or anything,
right?
He
but
needs
he, he's done so many different chiptunes, not just NES, but you know, TurboGrafx, MSX, anything you can think of. This guy's just the man. So I'd love to go back to more of his music in the future, but I'm gonna play a track he created called Entune 3. This is really groovy. I hope you guys enjoy. Let's take a listen. Are listening to Entune 3 by Naruto. I just can't say enough about this guy. I mean, yeah, you were making a good point, Carl. His implementation is on par with his compositional skills. I mean, the melody is fantastic. All the musical elements are insane. And what's crazy, a lot of chiptuners like to use VRC6 for sort of the extended mm-hmm. channels. And he's done a few things with VRC6.
But not
what's
here.
What's so amazing is this is as lush or full as anything I've ever heard. And it's, again, only three channels.
What I was saying when we were listening to this is, like, this is a worthwhile piece of music. Like, all the care that he took into the implementation and the vibrato and the instrument switching, it's worthwhile for this melody. Because this compositionally is every bit as good as some of the classic NES composers.
Well, and you can just tell he studied that music. I'm willing to bet he mm-hmm. has some sort of music theory background because, Carl, one of the pieces I found on his website, and it's hard to find because everything is in Japanese.
Sure.
But it's this track that's made using only one PSG channel.
Oh my gosh.
In every beat, he's switching between bass register and melody. And
that's
it's
amazing.
Crazy how it interlocks.
We gotta play that in
because
the future.
You don't even know that you're listening to just one channel. It's this guy is insane, and he writes in so many different styles. There's other stuff that sounds more like kind of classic Nintendo music, and there's other stuff obviously
it would
like
be cool to
rocks.
Reach out to him, try to get more information.
I mean,
on
I
him.
Imagine he only speaks Japanese because his site is completely in Japanese. But yeah, fantastic
that
stuff.
Is awesome. Yeah, Naruto, he kills it. All right, I'm going to move on. Really excited to move on to my next pick. It's been a long time since I brought something in from this game, but I don't know. For some reason, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go back to that. I knew that the entire soundtrack was wonderful, and there were plenty of tracks I've never played. So let's go back to the Xbox soundtrack, Voodoo Vince, right?
Oh, great.
Some wonderful gypsy jazz music featuring, you know, all real players here, composed by Steve Kirk. Let's play a track we've never played before. I brought in Son of Trophy Room from Voodoo Vince. Enjoy. I just can't get enough of Voodoo Vince. This is Son of Trophy Room from Voodoo Vince, composed by the wonderful Steve Kirk. That guitarist is on fire. I love his tone. There's a little bit of distortion. And you can tell he's playing with a slide because right. there's certain notes that he's just able to kind of, like right there, you know, you're getting a lot of vibrato. You're getting a lot of quick slides. That's not possible with your fingers. This is so cool. That main head is constantly harmonized with two guitars. And it's just... I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just so entertaining.
Well, it uses that great, like, bad guy harmony that's just so classic, but hearing Devious. It in this gypsy jazz context is so fantastic. I love the steel guitar. I love all the performance.
Yeah, it's like yeah, this gypsy is so jazz catchy. Mixed with some country, mixed with, like, a little bit of bluegrass, but video game, I don't even know.
Well, the harmony is that kind of those bad guy minor chord
sure.
progression oscillation stuff.
Isn't this just so much fun?
Gotta love it.
And it was, and dude, it was really hard too, because like we've played, I think, only two, maybe three tracks so far from Voodoo Vince. And you know, that Main Street is
right.
just so great. But there were a few that I couldn't even decide.
Well, see, yeah, what always happens for me, I have the hardest time finding great new soundtracks. But then when I find them, it's like I just want to play everything.
Exactly.
From them.
Which is a good problem to have. All right, back to you.
Well, speaking of that dilemma, I was really curious about finally checking out some of Grant Kirkhope's recent orchestral soundtracks, and boy, did I fall in love with the music to Civilization Beyond Earth and Civilization Beyond Earth Rising Tide.
Cool.
There are other composers that worked in the series, but Grant's work is my favorite because I think it's the most melodic, but it's not just about his melodies. He has a sophistication in his orchestration that is sort of unmatched with, I think, a lot of other contemporary film composers.
Yeah.
And his music is able to feel like modern and timeless at the same time. But
sure.
it's like Viva Pinata, it's always very simple gestures. It doesn't feel timeless in the sense of really complex, you know, intricate woodwind writing.
Right.
He just uses all the groups of the orchestra in a very symphonic way. It's really lovely. So I'm going to play a track from Civilization Beyond Earth Rising Tide. I hope you really like this, Carl. And it utilizes sort of the main theme of this game.
Cool.
The track is called Fractal Aquilon. Let's take a listen. Thank you. Ugh, isn't this just beautiful? You're listening to Fractal Aquilon, composed by Grant Kirkhope.
Nice
from the
job, Mr. Kirkhope.
Civilization Beyond Earth, Rising Tide.
This is a treat. I've never actually heard anything from this particular
Dude,
soundtrack.
I cannot recommend this more. If you go to Grant's Bandcamp page, uh-huh. he actually has just the pieces he composed.
Oh, that's cool.
But the whole soundtrack is also on iTunes.
What
and
year
I recommend
was this?
Picking them up. This game came out in 2015,
okay.
but I think the original one maybe came out in like 2012.
You know, this makes me really happy because this feels like kind of finally this great conglomeration of almost everything he's ever done wrapped into one thing.
Right.
Because you can hear that Grant, kind of the Kirkhopean kind of
just
style of his
film
chord,
music moves,
his chord
right.
progressions and things like that. It feels like things that he maybe learned his time working on Viva Pinata and some other soundtracks.
Sure,
and
orchestrationally.
So it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it definitely feels like someone who's reached a certain level of comfort.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was born to do films. I mean, listen to this. And the thing that's so inspiring about Grant is he's just the most humble man you'll ever meet. He talks about his music in just the most deprecating way,
yeah.
as if, like, he doesn't even take it seriously. And so you can be fooled into thinking, oh, maybe there's nothing there. But then you listen to the music, and it has this just effervescent beauty. I mean, I love everything about this track. His orchestration feels classic in the way that he writes for the woodwinds.
Well, he's a guy who doesn't mess around. He would just prefer to just get down to business and make music. He doesn't necessarily
right.
want to sit around and talk about it all that much, you know? He just wants to get to work.
Yeah, wonderful. I can't recommend these soundtracks more. Yeah,
that's a cool pick, dude.
One of the most delightful things of me preparing this playlist.
Well,
was
man,
listening to those.
what a good playlist so far today. This has been a lot of fun. All right, now we're going to move on to my next pick, and this is going to change things up a lot. Let's go to a PC 98 game, right? You know, this
okay,
is
okay.
After all, this is my playlist, right? That I'm submitting. I love PC 88, 98 music. Something about it. It's this particular era. It's Japanese computer systems, and you have a lot more channels than in something like the Genesis, so it's kind of, it's the Yamaha FM synth, but a little bit more lush, and at times, like, a little bit more laid back. Like, you can tell that they're just not, they just have more room to kind of stretch
PC
out.
PC games are often different
yeah.
mechanically, so the music requires a different function.
And this is a great example of that. It's a very laid-back, groove-based track that has a really solid rhythm section groove that is really kind of the hook of the piece, and you really just kind of drench yourself in that and just get really comfortable with this groove. I really like it. It was composed by Ryu Umimoto and Ryo Takami, so double the Ryus here. Let's take a listen to Morning from the PC 98 game Ground Seed. We'll be right back. a confident piece of music. I just love this era of PC 98. This is Morning from the game Ground Seed, which came out in the, I think, 90s, maybe even mid-90s. This is Ryu Umemoto and Ryo Takami. And what's so great is it is kind of the next evolution of FM synth music. And it's so fun that that continued, you know, well into the mid-90s on systems such as the PC 98. Here you have a lot more samples, drum samples, even vocal samples,
sure,
mixed with, you know, those classic FM sounds. And I don't know, this is such a confident groove that, I don't know, it's like no matter what you're listening to, whether it's the melody or the bass line or the drums, you're gonna, I think, enjoy yourself.
I mean, you were right, this is very much a Carl track.
It is.
Totally up your alley, all about the groove and those FM synths.
What are your thoughts on the silly 90s kind of squeaks and like vocal sound? Like it's kind of goofy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes me laugh, so I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
It actually reminds me, just some of those silly sounds remind me of my old cakewalk work, some of the early music I ever composed.
But you would have like Homer Simpson and stuff.
I went to the next level of ridiculousness, yeah. But I mean, if you took those away, I mean, I think the track definitely stands out.
Ay caramba.
Do.
Yeah, your early music was interesting.
I don't even know if I'd call it music, some of it. It's just like weird remixes to Simpsons quotes. All right, guys, I think it's time to move on to Will's next track.
Well, to me, this soundtrack is the highlight of the day as far as what I'm bringing in. This is an NES soundtrack called Dark Lord. And it's two composers that, you know, we're sort of familiar with on this show. Masaki Iwasaki and Yuji Suzuki.
Yes.
Composers for Data East. This game has a phenomenal soundtrack.
Oh my
gosh. Another one of the examples where I just sort of found it by random. And I think a lot of people would skip past it when listening to it.
I remember seeing it.
The way that
like
NSFs,
the name of it.
The way that NSFs are most often laid out is all the music is up top and then it's the sound effects.
Uh-huh.
But what I've noticed with some of these Data East soundtracks, and there was that other score that Yoko Shimomura did, one of those NES games, where the sound effects take like 50 tracks to get through.
It takes a long
time,
yeah.
So for most of us, you just sort of think, oh, there's no music or it's not on this NSF. But if you are patient enough to go all the way through, you can actually find all the music. And it's fantastic. There's so many tunes in this game. They're all really rocking. And the other thing that's cool, though, in addition to having quintessential 8-bit tunes, there's also some really beautiful ballad-like pieces that you could almost imagine being played on, like, a Japanese piano and strings.
Well, I mean, Iwasaki did Minnesota Fats.
Right.
You know, so definitely familiar with ballads, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to share this. Let's take a listen to Staff Roll from Dark Lord. Listening to Staff Roll from Dark Lord, composed by Masaki Iwasaki and Yuji Suzuki.
This is not your typical Staff Roll, is
it? Well, it's not your typical game soundtrack. I think what it lets you know is the fact that the credits are this sort of active and exciting shows you what most of the stage music is like. Again, I didn't have that context when I was listening to the NSF. This was the first track that came on because it's almost like backwards. I don't know why they did it that way. But this is one of the first tracks you hear, so I assume this was stage one. But what's interesting knowing it with the context of Staff Roll is that that B section there still has that sort of beautiful chromatically descending progression that's very emotional. The other thing I love about this, just a great use of the three channels. Most of the piece is harmonized in thirds, but that B section has that great counterpoint, that, you know, call and response, imitation, canon,
classical style,
where the different, where, you know, the same motif of that B section is happening sort of in this call and response.
And also, I'm a really big fan of that chord. Dun, 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 dun. It's like kind of just that really mysterious, surprising chord that happens. And right. I was actually really impressed with the snare sample here. It sounds really good for the NES.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of snare samples that they don't get translated well to that one bit channel. It just really sounds like garbage.
Yeah, the drums were really something that stood out to me in this soundtrack.
Everything about the sound of this feels like not your typical NES. It's like approaching it from a very different way.
Definitely. I mean,
that's
just
great.
The wait till you hear the next track. You're definitely gonna feel like, wow, I'm listening to NES music.
Well, guys, it's time to move on to both of our track of the week suggestions, or our picks, and then we'll, you know, we're going to do a rock, paper, scissors to decide. All right. Really excited to show this to Will. I knew I wanted to look back at one of my favorite modern kind of chiptune style composers, Flashy Goodness.
Okay.
If you remember. And went back to his Bandcamp and saw a bunch of soundtracks that I... You know, last time I visited, I hadn't seen, you know, that have been released in the last year or two. And I found this one. The game is called Bean Dreams. And I looked at it, and it was so wonderful and smile-inducing. Every piece of music was just delightful. And he has a very specific kind of dreamlike quality of composing. Very confident use of chips. This one uses not just NES sounds, but a bunch of different kind of old-school sounds. And the melody is so happy and immediate. It's just, this is a really hooky piece of music that I think you guys are going to enjoy. And I hope, Will, you enjoy this one. This is Fortune Fields from Bean Dreams, composed by Flashy Goodness. That makes me dance. It makes me smile. It makes me happy.
You guys are listening. All kinds of emotions.
You guys are listening to Fortune Fields from Bean Dreams, from one of my favorite modern composers, Flashy Goodness.
Can't believe this is modern. Yeah, it really sounds like Sonic, especially in...
Oh, God. It's like Earth, Wind, and Fire harmonies. This is just the best. As soon as that melody comes in with the harmonized, they're kind of harmonized over that minor four chord in a way that feels so poppy and good.
The minor. If I could marry the minor four chord.
Yeah, and you know, the rhythms here are so catchy and... Oh my gosh, it feels good. Yeah, it's absolutely Sonic-y through and through. I love this so much.
This is
my
great
choice for track of the week.
What's interesting, I think our choices are completely different.
Okay.
But both highlight what's wonderful about, I think, a lot of Japanese composers in that school of harmony. What's interesting is this, you know, is more rocking and groovy and upbeat and everything. But the relationship between the melody and harmony is so emotional, so beautiful, very sentimental and longing. And I think both of the pieces we picked could be described the same way.
And well, I will definitely say that was the track that I was the most excited to share with everyone today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited to share my next one. It's another track from Dark Lord, composed again by Masaki Iwasaki and Yuji Suzuki.
Okay.
You know, what's interesting, that last track we played, it almost feels like the titles of these ought to be switched.
Okay.
Because the last one feels like a stage theme, and this could really be like an ending or a credits theme.
Okay.
It's so gorgeous. I really want you to imagine this in like a modern Fire Emblem game.
Okay.
Maybe with violin or maybe just piano.
But all right, I'm ready.
Melodically, it's beautiful, and this is my pick for track of the week. It's called Swamp of Sorrow from Dark Lord. beautiful. We're listening to Swamp of Sorrow from Dark Lord. And I keep saying these composers' names just because I really can't celebrate them enough. Masaki Iwasaki and Yuji Suzuki. It's such a wonderful, a little bit different NES soundtrack. It just feels a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
It's almost something I would more expect from, you know, the next generation of game music on the 16-bit era, or even more contemporary than that. I mean, you hear what I mean about it being a piano track, the way it's composed.
It's
that
so
bass
great.
Line is like the left hand of a piano with those arpeggios. And even though there's only three pitches, the carefulness with which the composer chose the specific harmonies, and at moments when there's, you know, sort of a moving part and when it's just harmonized in parallel, it's really beautiful, and it's emphasizing these more sophisticated, almost Japanese film music chords. I just love it, and I can't say enough about those opening three notes of the melody. I mean, that is just
it's
the absolute
so good.
Beautiful hook. Yeah, da da. It's just
and that doesn't that definitely sounds like Fire Emblem.
I've just
totally
been this
right.
track has been in my head for so long. I can't get it out. I keep playing it on the piano. It's just beautiful.
And actually, you know, that one of the composers you talked about, I'm very familiar with Masaki Iwasaki, but the second composer you mentioned, Yuji Suzuki, I believe he actually did some work on Bad Dudes as well,
which
is a soundtrack we're very familiar with. Cobra Command, I'm seeing here as well. So both of those composers are so talented, and you can even hear that just in that piece of music. All right, well, enough happy talking about music. It's time to get down to battling. You ready?
Okay.
On shoot.
May the best man win.
Here we go.
Okay, we tied, so it was two scissors.
Two scissors.
This is always the most boring thing to listen to. I can't believe we're still doing it. Okay, we have to at least say rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay, here we go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, snaps, I win. No, that's it. So I got scissors and Will got paper. So the track of the week this week is going to be Fortune Fields from Bean Dreams. But don't get too sad, Will, because I think we're going to come back to that wonderful soundtrack of Dark Lord, because that was quite good. So
maybe even later in this episode.
Oh, snaps. Three picks. Okay, guys, let's move on to my next choice. This is from a GBA game. This is Mega Man Battle Network 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and this was composed by Yoshino Aoki. And what was interesting is the version of this track that I found was from some sort of emulator, some sort of like GBA emulator, where it actually sounds a lot cleaner, like the fidelity. There's not that kind of hiss that you usually have. So I'm not sure exactly how this person converted it, but it sounds like GBA 2.0
sure.
In some way. So let's take a listen to Great Battlers from Mega Man Battle Network 3. Pleasantly surprised by the quality of that melody. You guys are listening to Great Battlers from the GBA game. Doesn't sound quite like GBA here, but Mega Man Battle Network 3, composed by Yoshino Aoki. I just think this sounds like classic Mega Man. I don't know,
yeah.
Something about it. The writing, the harmony, the different
Honestly,
sections.
So much better than a lot of the NES soundtracks, in my opinion.
Absolutely. and it's actually great here, getting those orchestra hits, getting some more modern samples mixed with the classic kind of pulse channel sound there. It's a great track. I think the drums are very frantic and groovy and exciting.
Right.
And this is battle music or boss music that for me is always kind of a rarity, because most of the music for this setting of a game that you hear is not that musically interesting for me.
It's usually pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah, and this is something where you can tell that it's, you know, a battle theme, because it's a lot more frantic.
Especially with those orchestra hits.
Exactly, but the melody could exist in a different context.
I completely agree, yeah. It's almost like a great stage theme, and it really carries the spirit of classic Mega Man with it. I think that's so true, Carl. The other thing I think is interesting about handheld games, I often feel composers enjoy a little bit more freedom with panning techniques.
Sure.
Because a lot more people are playing these games with headphones in. You know, it's really one of the big selling points of handheld consoles. And it goes back to the original Game Boy, the idea of players playing things with headphones. But what's cool about the GBA, they have that control over whether you know, channels are panned to the left or panned to the right. And for those of you that are listening with headphones, you'll probably notice those orchestra hits in the beginning start off on the right and then switch over to the left. And because it's this interesting little almost musical painting effect, where because the pitches are descending down in the first two are on one side and the two are on the other side, it almost sounds as if it's gradually transitioning from one side to the other, because we're starting to associate the contour of the melodic line with the direction of the panning. So instead of hearing two equally right and two equally left, which is what it is, you almost hear it as though it's gradually transitioning. I thought that was an interesting
effect.
And
this composer, I've been a fan of, she's done some great work for Capcom. She actually did Breath of Fire 3 with Akira Kaida, who's another wonderful Japanese female Capcom composer. That's a soundtrack for the PS1 that I've liked for a while. And I think she did a lot of other Battle Network games as well. So cool. I think it's time to move back to you.
Great. Well, I'm really excited. I alluded to this earlier, but it's time to play another piece by James Hannigan. One of the things that I had either forgotten or I just didn't realize is that he took over for Jeremy Soule for some of the later Potter games.
He did
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I know Jeremy Soule came back, I think, to do maybe some of the later titles.
You know what's interesting? Why does nobody really talk about or play those? Like, I you know, like the later Harry Potter games, I almost forgot they even came out.
There's some interesting backstory, because they're actually no longer available. You can't buy those soundtracks anymore. They used to be, and I think what happened is they were so highly reviewed by fans and critics alike that a lot of people, it sort of became a common sentiment that, for instance, you know, James Hannigan work on Order of the Phoenix was better than, I think it was Nicholas Hopper.
Better
Nicholas
than
Hooper,
the film.
His music for that film.
Yeah.
And so, and also I think maybe there was some brand confusion with products being the same name, but it's such a shame because not only does he carry the torch from Jeremy Soule, but he carries the torch of John Williams, both in the orchestration and the spirit of the music. It's just fantastic.
It's impressive.
It's a wonderful soundtrack. So again, this is another rabbit hole that I can't wait to dive down on future episodes. But let's take a listen to a piece called Welcome to Hogwarts, fittingly enough, from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Great. We're listening to Welcome to Hogwarts, composed by James Hannigan from Harry Potter 5, Order of the Phoenix.
This gives Jeremy's work in the earlier entries a run for its money. This
Doesn't
is incredible.
It?
And it's definitely going to a certain depth of emotion and like melodic beauty that you don't hear in video games very often.
No, which is, again, back to your point, why these games aren't talked about. I think there is that sort of awkward elephant in the room that, like, why is the music in the games in many cases better than some
movies.
Of the stuff in the films?
And it does feel very Williams-esque.
Well, and it's crazy how these composers for video games were more accurately able to capture the spirit of John Williams than the film composers were. It's, I mean, I'm not a fan of Patrick Doyle's score to 4. I think there's some themes from Harry Potter 5 that's okay.
I think part of it is just the intention. Like, they may not have even been trying to uphold that at all. They may have just been doing their own thing. And maybe this Hannigan, for whatever reason, was specifically trying to.
The other thing I love is, orchestrationally, you can tell in all these pieces that there's specific pieces of John Williams that they're really trying to use as almost a template or a model. But musically, it has its own identity. It's not really dancing around
for sure
any other melodies. But I think it still carries with it a certain emotional depth that... is really up to that standard.
Well, it reminds me
feels like a continuation
of a lot of 90s Williams scores, kind of something either from like Hook or maybe Home Alone.
Right. I mean, I just love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, also, it kind of sounds a little bit like, to me, Tchaikovsky.
Well, it's actually
one
quite
of his, like,
sad
symphony.
That, you know, the time was taken to compose and orchestrate this and perform this, and we don't have like a good way to buy it. It's kind of sad. It's like,
I know,
there's so much time was put into
but
this.
But back to what I was saying is, like, that it has sort of that classical influence, and I think a lot of, you know, like Home Alone and Harry Potter, mm-hmm, really borrows a lot of influence from Tchaikovsky. And
yeah,
this,
for sure. Especially
this
with
piece
the use
specifically
of...
reminds me of one of the final movements in Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, yeah, I don't know, very dramatic,
or even like something from the
thing.
Nutcracker, you know, like
right,
the use of the celeste and stuff. All right, guys, we're approaching the end here. This is my 9th pick of the day. Really excited about this. You know, I just got to say this, that lately the Sonic games have been killing it with their soundtracks.
Haven't they?
Like, there was a period when I was just not very happy with the state of Sonic
it's
music.
It's nice that that's changed.
And yeah, this is, so I'm going to play a track from Sonic Unleashed, which is a little bit more maybe, I guess, underrated as far as the music goes. There's actually some really great stuff in this soundtrack. Composed here by Kenichi Takoi and Yasuru Shimai. This is a really laid-back, beautiful piece of music called Jungle Joyride Night. Never heard this before, and Will, I think you're going to really get a kick out of this from Sonic Unleashed. Another track that is so long, this is 6 minutes long. I love all the choices, you know, all those instruments combined together. That constant kalimba with the delay is so good. The drums, the piano, the cello. This is a beautiful piece of music that I don't know why it was in Sonic Unleashed, because it sounds nothing like Sonic, and it actually doesn't sound very similar to a lot of the music in the soundtrack. It's definitely a departure. It's called Jungle Joyride Night, and I'm so glad that this was included, because, oh my gosh, yeah, this is just gorgeous.
Really beautiful. One of the best things I've heard all day.
Yeah. I thought about this being my track of the week choice, and I just couldn't decide between the two, so this one was very closely considered. But yeah, Sonic Unleashed, man, nice job, Sega boys and girls.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to play something from a recent Animal Crossing game. It's hard for me to really do a show and tell without playing something from Kazumi Tataka, because he's just one of my favorites. And I will say, Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer for the 3DS, I think it might be my favorite Animal Crossing soundtrack.
Wow.
It came out in 2015, and I don't think that would be a popular opinion. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people really like the subtleness of Animal Crossing. I think that's still in this soundtrack.
So Kazumi still wrote new music here. It's not just reusing.
It's all new. Wow. I don't think there's any themes that are reused. And it's just him on the soundtrack. It's so phenomenal. I love it. It captures the spirit of Animal Crossing, but I had the toughest time deciding which piece to use. Because the thing about the music for this series, it's always these short little nuggets of music.
Yep.
And so it's hard to find something that would really be satisfying just to listen to on its own. But I really recommend, if you're at all a fan of him or a fan of Nintendo music, mm-hmm. please check out Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. I really love it. So we're going to take a... I really love it. So I'm going to share a piece called Downtown 2. And what's interesting is the music for Downtown, there's about five or six different versions.
Okay.
There's Downtown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then there's Downtown Night and Downtown Winter. And they all use sort of the same little melodic fragment, but each one is orchestrated entirely different.
Okay.
This one uses sort of, I think, strings, accordion, and piano, but it's much more sparse. I really love this. So let's take a listen to Downtown 2. So sweet. I just love that melody. It has so much character to it.
That's
We're listening to
so
Downtown
adorable.
2 from Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
You know, it's definitely nailing the same kind of emotion that he's able to capture earlier on in the series so many times. But what I enjoy about this, I gotta say, we're in a really good era for Nintendo music, because almost every soundtrack you hear now on systems like the 3DS, it's having real performance, and if not real all the time, like just really good sounding instruments that's matching the composition. And actually, in my opinion, it seems like it's kind of elevating the composers to do something a little bit more worthwhile. Like, I don't know, this just feels a lot more taken seriously than even previous Animal Crossing games.
I mean, the melody here, I just adore. It really has this almost Italian or French opera quality
I can't think of another Animal Crossing tune that is as, like, I guess, serious as this. Like, I don't know, it just really feels...
It's really sweet. It has so much character to it. It could really be a film theme for how simple and pure it is. And all the orchestrations are different, and he really takes liberties with the melody.
And what a great humble choice, you know, acoustic guitar and Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's just like... It's just a very interesting pairing of instruments. And then you have mandolin.
Well, and I think one of the best versions of this theme is the winter version, which just uses celeste. And it's absolutely gorgeous. But I had the toughest time picking, because I really wanted to play some of the tracks in this game.
That was
really
wonderful.
Feel like a spiritual successor to his Wii Shop music, and has this great kind of Muzak-y Latin kind of sound.
Well, I
really enjoyed this.
That was so fun, Will. I'm going to change things up a lot, for this is my last pick of the day, my 10th pick. And I was very enamored and kind of transfixed by this piece of music this week. I listened to it so many times. And I was particularly just kind of mesmerized by the uniqueness of this chord progression here. So this is an obscure SNES game. Will, have you ever heard of this game? It's called Mr. Nuts with a Z.
You know, I actually came across it the other day when I was going through soundtracks.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Nuds or Nuts. And this track is called Ice Scream. And it was composed by a composer, Rafael Gasqua, and never heard of him before. And I just think this is a really unique and beautiful track. And again, it's very long. It's almost 6 minutes long. Let's take a listen to Ice Scream from Mr. Nuts. Got a kick out of this track. It's so unique. It's kind of weird. Like, the first time I listened to it, I was like not quite sure about it, but something about it kept me engaged. I can't really put my finger on it. I think this is really interesting. This is Ice Scream from Mr. Nuts for the Super Nintendo, composed by Rafael Gasqua. Yeah, guys, thanks a lot for joining us. I had a great time preparing this week. I'm really happy with the quality of music we both brought in today.
Yeah, this is fun. I mean, it's always sort of a stressful thing for me, at least, you know, putting this stuff together, because I just want to outdo myself and keep a certain standard.
But we also knew we wanted to do that this week, since, you know, you're heading back to, you know, UMD.
So yeah, that's another thing to say. This is our last week recording the podcast
in person
together for quite a while.
Go back to the world of
Skype. Yeah, we're going to be remotely. Hopefully it won't sound any different.
We've gotten to the point where I think we can make that pretty seamless transition, you know. But let's see what we got. Will, you have a playout track to mention, right?
Yeah, so I'm playing out with another thing from Dark Lord. This is a good ending.
Fitting?
Yeah, it's sort of fitting.
Has it been
a good
ending for your summer, Will?
Yeah, I'm really happy. You know, I feel like I got everything accomplished that I wanted to.
Good.
I wrote finished some music and wrote some music that I was really looking forward to.
You have a website?
Creating the website was a huge thing, and releasing the album. So I'm
it's
riding
been
pretty high. So
it's
I'm excited to go back to school and, you know, see what they know.
Well, guys,
isn't that a line from It's a Wonderful Life?
It is. Yeah. Well, guys, we'll be back with you next week with another episode. Thanks so much for joining us. A little plug here. You can find us on iTunes, subscribe to us, and leave a review on there. We're on Twitter. You can follow us at Mercado Bros. Facebook page. You can like that. YouTube channel. Our website, if you're not familiar, is supermercadobros.com. We have every episode of the podcast that you can download from there if you prefer, or our original music. We have a couple new albums recently. Mine is Back in Orbit. Will's is Axiom. And yeah, I think that's pretty much all the things. Oh yeah, we also have a Patreon if you're interested in supporting us. We really appreciate that.
Again, so, choosing to create a commercial for the show they just listened to. Really brilliant.
It's kind of nice because then, you know, that some people might have turned it off already. So,
yeah. So then we can say whatever the we want.
All right, guys. We'll be back with you next week. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.